sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a
friend. 2018. Hope and Chris finish the last episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Luckily, dependable Dave Filoni and crew create Rebels with new characters, new places, and new adventures, thus keeping hope alive for this podcast. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars Rebels. We're back with Rebels in this episode. When the Rebels lose contact with Concord Dawn, Sabine, Ezra, Chopper, and Mandalorian prisoner Finn have to investigate. They find an unexpected deadly new threat waiting for them. There will be good Mandos, bad Mandos, Mandos with jetpacks, and a really confused Ezra Bridger. We're talking about Imperial Super Commandos this week. How are you doing, Chris?
Good.
We're back with Rebels.
How about that? Right after our Mandalorian review with Aaron Henley, it's going to be a Mandalorian episode. So I guess we timed that perfectly.
I was thinking about that too, because like we started this hiatus, the Rebels hiatus, to do our commentaries like the week before the Mandalorian started playing out. And now it's done and we're done with commentaries and we're coming back with them. It's like we planned it, but we didn't. We didn't plan this at all.
Nope.
But it was so interesting watching this, and I want to say right here at the top of the show, some of my notes do have to do with The Mandalorian, like the actual show The Mandalorian. So there'll probably be some light spoilers in it. I'm not going to be coming out here going like, Snape killed Dumbledore. I'm not going to do like any big spoilers or anything like that. But I do know that some of my like notes touch on the show. So in case you don't want to be spoiled for the show, I'm going to say that up front. But yeah, it was so interesting watching it this time now with the knowledge of the Mandalorian, because like little things fell differently. Like there was something that Finn Rao said that I was like, yeah, like, oh, it was when he was like, we've endured years, centuries of war, and we'll endure the Empire, and we'll endure your rebels too. And I'm like, oh, you're not going to endure the Empire, man. You don't even know. And then I was like, oh, he doesn't know. And I was like, oh, God, they're not going to enter the Empire. Oh, God, the purge is coming. So it was so interesting watching this now with the knowledge of the Mandalorian. How was your week, Chris?
It's been pretty non-eventful so far.
That's true. I did just talk to you yesterday.
Yes.
But I'm all right. I didn't sleep very well last night, so I keep yawning. And so if I get really chatty or kind of like going off a tangent, it's just because I'm really sleepy. I'm very sleepy today. Sleepy. But it's fine. I'm actually going to North Carolina next weekend. That's exciting.
We'll pull you through. I remember the last episode, you just burned right out like a cinder by the end of it. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You're in better shape than that one.
Like, Aaron, thank you for being so patient, because I was so sick when we did that. And I, like, thinking back on it, I was like, man, I, like, super shortchanged Aaron. Thank God Chris was there to carry me through, because I was so sick. And my Dayquil wore off hard, and I was going down really fast. Like, I literally got off the Skype chat with you and Aaron, ate me a bowl of cereal, brushed my teeth, and I went to bed. I was in bed by like 15 minutes after we finished.
Like in the last 10 minutes, you sunk like a rock.
Yeah. So, Aaron, thank you for being so patient with me. I really do feel bad because I feel like I shortchanged you so much. But thank you for coming on for our Mandalorian episode, Aaron. I'm sorry that I just died at the end. So. And yeah, that's not the case today. I'm not sick anymore. I'm just really sleepy. So, wow. We should get started.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's been a little while since we did this. So we might as well jump right back in.
Yeah, it felt so good coming back too, man. It felt really good to come back to Rebels. Though every time, like, after we take a break and I have to come back and do, like, podcast outlines, it always, like, that first podcast outline coming back always feels like I'm climbing a small mountain, because I'm just like, oh god, I forgot about this. Oh god, I forgot about all the steps. Oh no, I need feedback. Oh fuck, I gotta go back and add feedback. Oh god. And then, like, by the next one after that, I'm just like, I'm good, let's do this. Okay, podcast outlines, bam. So, all right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Imperial Super Commandos, and I keep trying to say Super Imperial Commandos, and that's not what it is the 44th episode of Star Wars Rebels, and it was released on November 5th, 2016. It was written by Christopher Yost and directed by Stuart Lee. Some extra information for you. Gar Saxon is voiced by Ray Stevenson. His other works include Black Sails, Dexter, and he was Volstagg of the Warriors 3 in the Thor movies. And a funny side note, Ray Stevenson and Finn Rao's voice actor Kevin McKidd were both in the television series Rome together. The show is called Rome, not Rome Together. They were together in the series Rome. Anyway. Gar Saxon's first appearance was in the Darth Maul Son of Dathomir comics, where he was one of the Death Watch Mandos that stayed loyal to Maul, which then it dawned on me, we might could see Gar Saxon in season 7 of Clone Wars next month.
Mm-hmm.
And that would
be really
cool, because he, when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, he was.
Oh my god, next month. Wow.
Probably by the time this episode comes out. Actually, they released a date. I think it's February 17th, if I remember correctly. I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, like, by the time this episode comes out, it's going to be, like, less than a month.
Really close, yeah.
Yeah! Anyway. The idea of Imperial Super Commandos dates back to the earliest concept work done for The Empire Strikes Back. Preliminary story explanations would have had a class of super stormtroopers. The all-white design for the stormtroopers would eventually become Boba Fett's armor. And it was cool watching the Rebels recon for this, because they actually had video of, like, the white Boba Fett armor to, like, showcase what the Imperial Super Commandos would have looked like that they ended up not using and turning that armor into Boba Fett. So it was really cool seeing that, like, that black and white video of it. The game Sabine and Finn Rao are playing in the beginning of the episode was originally going to be Djarik, which is the hollow table thing with the monsters, but it changed into something more Mandalorian. The game is loosely based on a Legends game called Cubicad. It's based on a game from the book Rebels Commando from the Republic Commando novels. And the production team lovingly called it Stabble. I like Stabble.
Yeah, I like Stabble too.
Stabble. It's like Scrabble, but with stabbing. In Rebels Recon for this episode, they talked about how in season three that Sabine is coming into her own more. Finn Rao is there to act as a reminder of where she came from. While she is more of an individual, Finn is more traditional. They discuss how Finn reminded her of home and what she left behind on Mandalore. Now, in an interesting point, post-watching The Mandalorian, Pablo Hidalgo says that they've been thinking a lot about Mandalore since Clone Wars. The Empire has brought the planet stability after they had a civil war breakout. Someone like Gar Saxon, though he had served Maul, was an opportunist and signed up for the Empire when he could. Pablo flat out called Gar Saxon a sellout. While he looks like a Mandalorian traditionalist, he's more interested in power. He probably was hiding out after Maul fell and then came out of the shadows when the Empire needed a puppet leader that he volunteered. Sorry. When the Empire needed a puppet leader. They also talk about how Gar Saxon and his men are far more Imperial than they are Mandalorian. I've actually found a lot of those, like, that kind of, like, interesting. And, well, I'll get into my notes. Oh my god, Yoda, Happy New Year! Yoda!
Hi, Yoda. Hi, Yoda. New Year.
Are you jealous? Because last time we talked to you, it was in a different world, in a world where there was no Baby Yoda.
Oh, Mandalorian. Ooh, Baby Yoda. Ooh. Yoda has talked to Yoda's lawyers. Yes.
So Yoda, is that? Did something happen with you and Yaddle? Is that where Baby Yoda came from?
Nothing like Yoda.
He looks so much like you. He has your ears.
No. Yoda heard is actually two frogs sitting on top of each other. Yeah.
Mm. And then they're cannibals because they swallow one another?
No good. Yoda never touched Yaddle. Never. Yaddle is stupid liar.
So what are you? So I guess, well, I was going to ask what are your thoughts on Baby Yoda, but...
Who cares? Everybody loves Baby Yoda. Oh, want to kiss Baby Yoda. No one wants to kiss Yoda anymore. No. No, nobody wants Yoda on a t-shirt anymore. No one wants R2-D2 on a shirt no more. Baby Yoda, BB-8.
I don't know where to go from here. It's okay, Yoda. Yoda,
go visit Baby Yoda.
No, Yoda, we love you though. Like you're always welcome here.
Okay.
You're always like welcome here with me and Chris. Like you are our third podcaster, and you will never be replaced by Baby Yoda.
Yoda wants baby cart. Chris, folding baby cart and frogs.
Oh my god, it's Baby Yoda!
Looks tasty, yes!
Don't eat Baby Yoda! You can't eat him, no!
Maybe Yoda does like Baby Yoda.
Did you just see Baby Yoda?
Didn't see anything.
Who's gonna act with Pedro Pascal next season?
Two frogs. Try some CGI.
CGI didn't work too well for you in the prequels.
Fake Yoda. Demand the puppet cut. That's what Yoda says. Original puppet cut, episode 1. Not fake CGI Yoda cut.
Chris, I think Yoda ate Baby Yoda.
Yeah. I didn't see anything, Hope, and you didn't see anything either.
You just ate like a billion-dollar baby.
A billion-dollar baby. Well, you know, maybe he can. Maybe. Maybe he can be. They can sell him as a poop emoji next.
Maybe it was. Oh, Chris. Maybe this was Yoda's plan the entire time. Like, he's going to be riding around in the crib next season, just being like, I'm the man to wear, I say. Yes.
Baby Yoda, am I?
All right, well, you ready for Act 1?
Yeah. Let's get as far away from Yoda as we can now.
Huh. I have not. I just realized, because I didn't finish writing these notes till like 11 last night, and I have not edited them.
Oh, this should be fun then.
It's always fun when I don't edit my notes. So here we go. Act 1. We open with Sabine playing Savvy Block Game. I meant to say Stabby Block Game, but now it's a Savvy Block Game. Here we go. It's sentence 1. Let's do this. We open with Sabine playing a Stabby Block Game with Finn. Rawr! Sabine is trying to impress him with her board game playing skills, but Finn Rao is like, "Hun, I've been playing D&D, Scrabble, and Clue since before you were born. I win." So Sabine is like, "Alright, let's cut the crap. I want you and your men to join the rebellion." And Rao is like, counterpoint. I'm a prisoner here, so no. and he brings up Sabine's traitorous past and how he'll only be loyal to Mandalore since Sabine is so not a traditional Mandalorian. And Sabine is like, shut your mouth, old man! I'm a Mandalorian! And Rao's like, aw, that's cute. Zeb interrupts their cultural debate because Hera wants to see them in the war room, and that includes Rao Rao, too. Hera and Commander Sato inform Rao that they don't have contact with Rao's men anymore on Concord Dawn. They're scared that they will be a trap for the rebel forces. And Rao is like, that's preposterous! My men are loyal to me and my word. Someone get me a cell phone so I can call them up. But Sabine volunteers to go check it out, and Rao wants to go too since it's his dudes. And Hera says that Ezra and Hera and Chopper will go with them, and the kids are not allowed to wreck the new Phantom 2. And they all head out. The kids and Rao are flying along the new Phantom minivan, and Rao is just staring at Ezra, making Ezra feel really awkward. Luckily, that doesn't last very long as they arrive on the planet. Ezra wonders why it's half blown up, and Rao says that Mandos have endured war a long time, and that they will outlive the Empire, until they all watch Disney Plus and see the first season of The Mandalorian. Anyway, Ezra doesn't get all this Mandalorian stuff, and he turns his back on Rao, which is long enough for Rao to knock him the fuck out. And then Rao turns and stuns Sabine, and he takes over the ship, because the kids are down! But not for long, because after the credits roll, the opening credits that is, Chopper wakes them up. They get off the Phantom minivan to search for Rao, who now has their weapons. It doesn't take them long to find him. He's standing on the top of a ridge nearby. They hurry up the ridge and they see Rao isn't responding. He's staring down at what's left of his men, which is a whole lot of nothing. All the protectors of Concord Dawn are dead. And Rao says that it wasn't the Empire. Other Mandalorians did this. Bum, bum, bum. What'd you think of Act 1?
It was pretty good.
I know.
I like that they played sword chest instead of the standard game of whatever the hell they call it there.
Yeah, like a hollow monster game. Because that's also
I don't need to see it again.
Like, that's more Mandalorian, too. Like, they would play a game with, like, stabby knives.
It's almost, if it was Star Trek, it was very Klingon sort of thing. They're sort of the Klingons of Star Wars. I like the new Phantom, too. It reminds me, I couldn't never put my finger on it till last night, but it looks like one of those little leaf hopper bugs, those little green leaf hopper things.
Oh, you'll yeah! See on plants.
And,
yes!
And the only other note I had was, I don't remember what episode it was. It was a few episodes back where we were musing about, like, so exactly how do these guys deal with, you know, this unorganized rebellion that's just barely even congealing? How do they deal with prisoners, you know? What do they do when they take a prisoner, you know? Are they equipped for that? And now we know what they do with Rao. They just stick him in a room of the ship.
Yeah.
play sword chess with him for the whole time.
Yeah, and it seems like that wasn't Sabine's first time there either. Like, she had come there a few times.
No, they probably hang out because they're, you know, probably, like, they have something in common, you know?
Yeah, because, like, really, because, you know, Sabine's been the only Mandalorian really on the show so far. So I bet, like, you know, even though Rao doesn't like her or much, like, that's still her people. So it's, like, that little bit of, like, I want to be near my people. So I like that kind of like nod that like this was not her first time there.
No, I got the impression that they hang out all the time. I got the impression that they probably didn't have a friendship, but had a truce. And since they're both Mandalorians, they probably just felt like they should hang out with each other.
And I also like the whole like even though like Rao doesn't really like her that much like at this point. How he's still kind of teaching her, like, when they're playing Stabble, he's just like, that's a really brash move, and you're showing your hand. She's like, nah, it's strategy, and he's like, oh, really? I win. And she's just like, oh.
Well, that's the thing. That might be a really fun game, and nobody else can play it but other Mandos, you know? It's a game only other Mandos play, so maybe it's worth hanging out with people that they don't quite like just to get a good game of Stabble in.
Yeah, but I just like that moment, too, because it was kind of like Growl was just like, you're showing your hand too much, like, and I mean, I'm going to beat you because you're showing your hand too much. And I would like to think that that comes in, like, later, like, maybe Sabine, like, stops, like, being so... Well, she does be kind of hone her skills, because season one, she's just like, I'm going to fucking blow shit up. But now, like, as she's starting to get older and stuff like that, she's not, like, she still likes blowing shit up. But, like, you know, she talked in this episode about strategy. Like Ezra was like, well, what took you so long? She's like, well, I was using strategy. It takes longer. So I kind of like, I like that. Oh, I like that progression, Sabine, now that I say it out loud.
Yeah. Some good writing. That's all I got for part one.
All right, well, for me, I forgot that Ezra didn't go to Concord Dawn last time because it was just Sabine and Kanan. And I'm so used to, like, Ezra being in the middle of all the stories that I completely forgot that it was Sabine and Kanan last time. So it was just, like, a nice, like, moment of, like, reminding, like, oh, we're here. And, like, Ezra just being like, wow, that's cool. But he's also the audience point of view character because now they can explain Mando stuff to him. And right, so it's a nice gateway for, like, the audience as well. But, like, that, I thought that was a nice touch because I completely forgot that Ezra wasn't there. I'm just so used to Ezra being in the middle of things. And my other two notes are, like, just kind of have to do with The Mandalorian. It's so interesting watching this episode because they keep talking about what it means to be a traditional Mandalorian versus an individual Mandalorian like Sabine. And Sabine is very much an individualist. Like, she is... You know, she is her own person. She's like, yes, she's like part of a family and a clan and stuff like that, but she's an individual versus someone like Rao and later on Saxon, even though Saxon is more imperial. They keep talking about these like traditional Mandalorians. They're not mandolins. Mandalorians. And it makes me, it kept making me think of like where Din Djarin. What's his name? What's the Mandalorian thing? Din Djarin?
Jin something. Yeah, Jin Djarin.
It's Din Djarin.
Jeff.
Oh, I missed Jeff.
It's close, you know, that you guys were close with the Jeff, so.
I didn't come up with the Jeff. That was Jonah.
You just have to spell Jeff D-J-E-F now.
Din Jeff. I guess I should explain this joke for people. With Jonna from Geeky Bubble and her co-podcaster Jeremy, they did a spinoff series called Beskar Pod where they were going through the Mandalorian. And up since they didn't have a name for the Mandalorian for the first 7 episodes, they just called him Jeff because they didn't have a name for him. And I just thought that was the funniest thing. So,
Jeffrey.
Yeah. So like, but now he's Din Djarin. But yeah, it just made me like really think about like. Where is him and his people? Because the Mandalorians and his show are so vastly different from the Mandos that we see in Clone Wars, who are also vastly different from the Mandos we see here. And it just made me think a lot about that without going into too much detail, because eventually we're going to do Mandalorian on the show. And then just my other note was watching this like post-Mandalorian, Rao's line about Mandalorians outliving the Empire is sad now. That's a sad line because they don't. So.
Yeah, but what that would be something a Mandalorian would say anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. But it's fun watching it now knowing that they don't. Because he said that and I just went, oh, when he said that, I was just like, oh, no.
I don't know, but no. You know, I mean, they survive the Empire, just scraps, you know, to the, they're still, you know.
That's true. That's a valid point because it's not
there's
like...
There's a TV show called The Mandalorian, and there's more than one Mandalorian in it, so...
That's a very valid point. They do survive. It's just not the numbers that they had before, so...
Yeah.
But that's all I have. Did you have anything else?
I do not. I'm ready for part 2.
All right, part two. I feel a burp coming on, so that's
probably... I had some of what I thought my good notes in part one, but they were actually part two notes, so...
I wasn't quite sure where to split this, because all that happened within the first, like, 8-9 minutes, and then, like, the first screen wipe came, like, 10 minutes into the episode, and then the next screen wipe after that was, like, four minutes later.
Yeah, that's what... That's how I... That's exactly... That's what I... So, like, I, like... Yeah, I went after the first, so I've got an extra 2 or 3 minutes in here, so most of my notes are in part two, even though it was one of the smaller parts.
Yeah, so I just kind of went by, like, story beats of from, like, where I split it, so. All right, act two. They go down to the camp, and Rao is pissed. He swears he would have been able to stop this all if he was there, and Rao is blaming Sabine and the rebels for this. And Sabine is like, bitch, these are my people too. And Rao is like, don't you talk about how Mandalorians are your people. Meanwhile, Ezra is just like really confused in the background. Like, he's just so confused. He doesn't get it. And Sabine is trying to talk some sense into Rao that this is an Imperial attack, not a Mandalorian attack. None of the other clans would have this kind of firepower. Suddenly, Chopper picks up another signal. And it's an Imperial recon droid trying to transmit that they're there. Ezra uses the Force to hold it while Sabine shoots it down, and they're not going to take a chance on seeing whether or not the Empire is coming for them. Chopper heads back to the Phantom, but Rao refuses to leave. He will deal with the Empire, and now he has the Rebel base location to bargain with. And Sabine takes out her blasters, ready to stop him. And Chopper picks up an incoming signal and sends it to the kids. They see flying around the bend a bunch of Mandalorians flying in on jetpacks. But they're not just any Mandos. They're Imperial Super Commandos who are Mandos. Commandos who are Mandos who serve the Empire. That's hard to say. Commandos that are Mandos.
Mandos. Just call them Mando Commandos. I like that.
Mando Commandos.
Mando Commandos.
Mando Mandos. Mando Commandos. Commando Mandos. I like Commando Mandos. Commando Mandos. Try not to say mango. Mango! Don't ask me where mango came from. The kids and Rao run back to the camp to avoid the Commando Mandos, who are now searching the camp for them. And another Empire Mando corners Chopper on the Phantom. Ezra shoots at the bad Mandos to pull them away from Sabine and Rao, but he gets surrounded in the process. Sabine wants to go after Ezra, but Rao keeps her from it. Since Rao still has Ezra's lightsaber, they won't know why right away that he's a Jedi. Rao tells Sabine to follow him because he knows where all the best hiding places are. Now that Ezra's captured, the main baddie introduces himself. He's Gar Saxon, the Imperial puppet leader of Mandalore. So now we have Gar to go with Rao! And Ezra's like, Saxon, huh? I loved you in Doctor Who. And Gar's men bring Chopper to him, and Gar interrogates Ezra. Ezra's playing that he is a scavenger working for Hondo and Naka. And let's be honest here, if Ezra had called him, Hondo would totally vouch for Ezra. But Gar is not buying a single word of this. He orders the men to search the Phantom. Meanwhile, Sabine and Rao are watching from the ridge above. And Sabine is like, okay, we have to go back for Ezra, and we have to get to the Phantom. And Rao is like, excuse me, what is this we thing you keep saying? I ain't doing shit, because I don't give a shit about your rebels. And Rao says that Gar Saxon is a traitor like Sabine's family, since they're all part of Clan Vizsla. And just a reminder, because it's been a while, it's been such a hot minute since we've done this the Protectors of Concordon episode. Remember, Rao's men, the Protectors, used to serve the throne. They were the ones serving Duchess Satine in the Clone Wars when Pre Vizsla pulled his coup against them. So Clan Vizsla would be traitors to the Protectors. Everyone good again? History lesson over. Back to the episode. Sabine finally reaches the point where she goes, oh my god, shut up! Look, we need each other. I'm not looking for revenge, but we have a common enemy right now. Put your bitching aside, and let's all get through this, okay? And Rao agrees that they should sneak back into camp. Which is good, because Saxon is not believing Ezra anymore, and Ezra is running out of lies. And finally Ezra goes, Rao! And Gar is suddenly very interested, because he wants to know where Rao is. And as Saxon starts shaking up Ezra, spouting off how much he was already planning on killing Rao, well, Rao is outside listening, realizing that he would have been a dead man whether or not he had stayed with his men. The rebels actually saved his life. Rao calls a truce with Sabine. He'll secure the ship and hand Sabine back Ezra's lightsaber. She'll get Ezra back, and they'll thin out Saxon's men in the process. Sabine and Rao knock out a guard, and Sabine takes his jetpack. And they move out to start their attack. Dun-dun-dun! What'd you think of Act 2? Gar and Rao!
Not bad, not bad. Some of my Act 2 notes now have just got pushed down into Act 3. So
I had no idea where to split this.
So I only have two notes here. I'm calling him Ball Saxon.
Ball Saxon?
That's his name from now on.
Hi, Ball.
Ball Saxon?
Oh, so it's a ball sack.
Think about it. Because he's a big old sweaty, stinky ball sack of a Mandalorian.
Ball Saxon. Ball Saxon.
Yep. So that's my name from him from now on. So. Or BS, because he's full of BS.
Hey. The first thing I went to was Doctor Who, because the master was I think Harry Saxon, Henry Saxon. Mm-hmm. His last name was Saxon. So every time I see his name, I think of Doctor Who.
There's a 70s actor named John Saxon, too, that could have been in there. Yeah. But my only other note is you could tell that this is it's funny because I'm comparing this to a Quentin Tarantino movie or something, or an R-rated interrogation movie. Mm-hmm. And since this movie is a 22 minute format and geared towards a younger audience, you have the interrogators doing stuff like, oh, every time you lie to me, I just learn more of the truth. So keep going and stuff like that. It's just don't tell them what your your process of how you're interrogating them while you're interrogating them. You don't give them that information. But it works narratively within a story like this. But yeah, that's all I got for part two.
I forgot where I wrote it, but I think I put it actually in my act three. But I was like, if this was not a kid's show, Ezra would be fucking beat up by now.
Yeah.
Like bleeding. I think I did put that in act three. So
I think Ezra's bad mistake in his faking that he was not a rebel was he should have acted like he was pissing his pants. He was too kind. He was very, although when he started saying, well, I'm with Hondo and stuff, okay, he would be kind of cocky like he was, but he should have played it more like he was like, I'm just here scrapping parts, man. I don't want to get involved in no Mandalorian shit. And you ain't going to hurt me, are you? That's how I would have played it if I were him.
Yeah.
But they still would have been on to him because... Mm-hmm. Those Mandalorians are savvy, especially Ball Saxon. He may be sweaty and stinky, but he's not dumb.
I need to tweet that to know. Well, when this episode actually, when this episode, I'll save it for when this episode comes out. So,
yeah, we were on a non-classy show yesterday, so I'm being extra. I want to be a little extra classy today.
Yeah, hi, Butcho and Robbie. I know you guys are listening. I don't know if that episode would be out by the time this episode comes out, but we were
probably since they post daily.
Yeah, good lord. I don't know how you guys do men. It. But guys, go check out the podcast Send in the Clones by Butcho and Robbie. They are a brand new show and they are going through an episode a day. They're releasing the episode of the day and they're going through all of the Clone Wars to lead up to season 7, so go check them out because they were super nice guys and they had us on the show, and thank you guys for having us there. So go check out Send in the Clones with Butcho and Robbie. So
I know they were super impressed. They were super impressed that we'd hit 200 episodes, but that's at their rate, they'll hit 200 episodes inside of a year.
Yeah, God. I don't know how they do it that.
I don't know. Superhuman.
Yeah. Their episodes are also way shorter. It's 20-30 minute episodes. So their episodes are way shorter. Hi guys. But yeah, we weren't allowed to be like classy on there. So fuck ball sex and then his fucking.
Oh, we were allowed to be classy. They just would have beeped us out, and I didn't want to give them the extra work in the editing.
Yeah.
In the editing process, especially if they're going daily.
Yeah. Well, yeah, guys, go check out Sin and the Clones because they were super nice. Anyway, was that all your notes?
That was all my notes. My notes. All right.
For my notes, I don't think I have any big notes. This episode, it's pretty straightforward. I didn't really have any big notes for this one.
Yeah.
So my first note was, since Rao has his lightsaber, I always like seeing Ezra having to use other methods to fight when he doesn't have his lightsaber. Like, we don't often see him take up a blaster. And, like, while he never shot it, like, it's still just such a different image to see Ezra holding a blaster. And he also has to use the Force on the recon droid, which was actually kind of a nice callback to, like, the Inquisitors in Season 2, where they were, because, like, he was like, oh, I can't hold this droid, it's too strong, and it kind of reminded me of, like, the Seventh Sister and the Fifth Brother in their first appearance in Always 2. They were having trouble holding the ship just because it was pulling against the Force so much. So I like those, like, kind of, like, continuity things that they have there, so. I wrote, I hate that I had to keep bringing up the Mandalorian, but it's really clear how much they built that show on top of this one. Sabine and Rao both have different ideas of what loyalty is, but it's still the same idea because it's still loyalty, and they have different ways of showing loyalty to their clans, which was really cool watching that. And there's also the moment where, like, Rao, when he wanted to stay behind with his men that are gone, it reminded me of episode 8 when Din wanted to stay behind with the armorer in episode 8. So there's just a nice, like, little parallels. It rhymes. Star Wars rhymes. It always rhymes. So. Anything?
Like a limerick.
Yeah, Star Wars rhymes. I also just love how complex Mando stuff is because, like, I always have to remember that Rao was part of Satine's men and Sabine's family was part of Death Watch. And so I always find that really interesting because, like, now they're kind of swapped because, like, Sabine's our protagonist and Finn Rao is our kind of an antagonist until he joins. He's an antagonist. So it's nice because back in the Clone Wars, it was the opposite, where Rao would have been the protagonist side and Sabine's family was on the antagonist side. And that's just, like, one of the things, I just love about animation in general because they get to play in those gray areas more. But it's nice here because, like, it just shows how complex, like, all this Mando stuff is.
Yeah, I mean, Mando culture should be complex because they're almost like a religion, you know?
Yeah.
With like warfare as a religion or just being a Mandalorian as being, you know, they're almost religious in their Mandalorianism. And then that ends up with, you end up like, say, with any big name brand religion, you end up with a million different takes on it too. So you have all these people, you know, once you have this just, you know, if it's very super important to be a Mandalorian, you're going to end up with all these different people who have different ideas of what it is to be a Mandalorian. So now you end up with these sects of varying, you know, and I mean, we saw that Mandalorians have run the gamut from super, like, say, fundamentalist or just extreme Mandalorians that are very warfare to the other extreme where they've actually even, you know, dipped their toes in being peaceful. So it's, it's all over the place. It makes it very interesting. I agree.
Yeah, because, like, one of the big, like, things, like, after The Mandalorian came out, like, where Din was like, I can't take off my helmet. Everyone's like, Clone Wars and Rebels, people take off their helmets all the time. What is happening? And it really is, like, I think religion really is the best way to say it, to, like, to frame it, because, like, there's a huge difference between, like, Catholics and Southern Baptists. But it's still Christianity.
Right. Right.
And that to me is, like, the best way to kind of, like, have a real world comparison to Mandalore.
Yeah.
And
not taking your helmet off is like being like, say, like a monk or Amish. Yeah. Yeah. Or Amish where you wear, you know, a uniform, or Hasidic Jewish where you wear the hat, you know, you have a uniform that's an important part of your existence. So to take it off is to, you know, to remove that from your existence, which is not allowed.
And unlike Sabine, who is like constantly taking off her helmet, and like to me, I often wondering if it's also the differences between, like Sabine is born in a clan, like she's part of House Vizsla Clan Wren, and like that is, and like that is one of like the higher clans and houses. So I'm wondering, with her being born in that, she has more of that freedom to remove her helmet. Unlike someone where we see, like, Din, he's a foundling, and so maybe, like, his group is not, like, a part of that, being able to do that, because he has to prove his Mando-ness. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and I think also the Mandalorians we see in The Mandalorian are so, you know, they're down to the last dregs of them, and so they've become extremists, you know? Mm-hmm. They've pulled into the most extreme elements of their beliefs, which means always wear your helmet. You know, they're holding on to it extra tight because there's almost nobody left, you know.
That's a really good point, because there's a difference between that, where there's only like a handful of them left, versus this time with Sabine, where there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and they can relax a little bit if once they get their numbers back up and find a place to live and you know, are not being hunted down and stuff, they could probably relax and take their helmets off and kick back a little bit. But for now, don't take your helmet off.
Yeah. My next note is, I love them bringing, just name dropping in Hondo. it's so well, and it's so earned too. It doesn't feel like an Easter egg because it's been earned in the story. And as I said, like, if Ezra just called Hondo out of the blue, it was just like, Hondo! Remember that scavenger thing on, like, Concord Dawn? Like,
well, I've Hondo run into totally, trouble there, yeah.
Like, Hondo would just play along. He'd be like, oh, yeah, my friend, that scavenger thing on Concord Dawn. Yeah, he's there for me. And then, like, next time Ezra sees Hondo, Hondo would be like, yeah, you owe me.
No, Hondo would yell at Ezra and then be like, give the comm to the Mandalorian. And he's just like, this kid, you know how much I paid for this kid? You know.
Yeah, are you going to pay me back?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That would have been a fun scene.
That actually would have been a really fun scene. But I do like whenever they do it now, because it doesn't feel like an Easter egg. Like, it's definitely earned, because the story has earned that moment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I found this interesting. For most of the, up until like right before they started infiltrating the camp, until he had to, Finn was carrying around someone else's helmet. And, cause his personal helmet is back on the ship with like Hera and Kanan and all of them. And I liked that because he didn't put it on until he had to, cause they were going into battle. And it felt like a respectful thing, because it's not his helmet, it's the helmet of a fallen Mando. And I really liked that moment, and then as soon as he was done with it, he took it off. Like, he doesn't wear it as soon as he gets the Phantom back, and he doesn't wear it for the rest of the episode. So I just thought that was like a cool kind of like visual story thing, that he was like being respectful with someone else's helmet, not wearing it until he needed to, and as soon as he didn't need to anymore, he took it back off again. So that was some nice like kind of visual storytelling that they did with that. And the last one was, it hit me like a brick this time that I never realized it, but Finn Rao and Gar Saxon are both designed, but I noticed it more with Rao. He looks just like the Mandos from Clone Wars. He has the same like very white skin and the same dumb haircut, and he has that kind of Germanic look that all like the Clone Wars Mandos had.
Yep.
And it's so interesting because it's so different from Sabine and then also now Din from The Mandalorian. They don't have that Germanic kind of look. And we know later on in the show that Sabine's not born on Mandalore. She's born, I think, on Cronus, I think is the planet that she was born on and where her family lives. So I wonder if, like, that look is a specifically, like, this is how Mandos from Mandalore planet looks like. While Sabine and Din, because they're not born on Mandalore, they don't have that look. So I just thought that was cool, because it, like, Rao looks like a Clone Wars Mandalorian, which makes sense.
They have that look even outside of like Nordic or whatever. They sort of have a look, or Germanic even. They have that look of royalty, you know?
Yeah.
So He looks like a wealthy, well-bred person who's used to, you know, the finer things, you know. So yeah. he might be of the upper crust of Mandalore and from the finer families of Mandalore or something.
Yeah, and we do know that like the protectors served Duchess Satine, so it makes sense like for him to have that look. But I like that idea of like the outskirts Mandos are like much more varied in their looks and stuff. So, but that's all I had for Act Two. Did you have anything else?
No, it's all in Part Three.
I know. All right, Act Three.
Act Three.
I have to burp again. There we go. Got it out of me. Act Three. Team Good Mandos start their attack. Rao very easily takes back the Phantom, which is good, because Saxon is... Oh, here's my Ezra note. Saxon is starting to beat up Ezra, and if this wasn't a kid's show, Ezra would probably look pretty fucked up by now. When Saxon threatens to shoot Chopper, Ezra uses the Force to save the droid. And Saxon is like, dude, I just made so much more money and got a promotion because now I've captured a Jedi. Awesome. But bam! A smoke bomb suddenly comes in the tent and Sabine rushes in grabbing Ezra and Chopper. And they run out to Rao, who has the ship, remember, which is good. But then he flies off with the Phantom minivan, which is bad. The kids are cornered, and Saxon comes out there calling out Sabine. He says that her mommy is looking for her. And Ezra's like, whoa, you have a mom? And Sabine is like, of course I have a mom, you idiot. And Ezra's like, oh, I miss my mom. And Saxon keeps talking, saying how Sabine leaving the academy shamed her family. That her mom served the Empire. And Sabine says that Saxon probably didn't give her much of a choice. But Saxon is willing to give Sabine a choice. And she can come back with him if she gives up Finn Rao. Sabine is acting... Oh, by the way, Chris, I'm about to need your help with a line, so...
Okay.
So unmute yourself. Sabine acts like she's going to yield, but handing Chopper her helmet, Chopper shoots out a loud frequency on all the Commando Mando's helmets. Grabbing Ezra and making him feel like the teenage boy he is, Sabine takes off with Ezra using the jetpack. Chris, can I get an Ezra teenage voice right here?
Whoa.
Oh, I was thinking more like Anakin. Like whoa!
Because
he's being grabbed by a girl.
Whoa!
Thanks, Chris. Anyway, Sabine flies off holding Ezra, and Chopper flies off following him. I just want to point
out that she actually wrote thanks in the in the notes.
I did. Thank you. Whoa! And they're flying away. It's a pretty intense flight scene. Ezra is dangling down from Sabine's hand, and he's using his lightsaber to deflect blaster bolts. He's Jedi parkouring from Mando to Mando, and it's pretty tense. And finally, Ezra falls down and lands on Chopper, which is awesome, because now he's riding Chopper flying through the air, and Sabine can shoot people, and it's a really cool image. They race ahead to the bad Mando ship, but another Commando Mando cuts them off. And the kids fall out of the sky, plot armor keeping them from breaking any bones. And it looks like the kids are trapped. But luckily, Rao is there! Because he's had a change of heart, and Rao shows up in the Phantom minivan. Ezra and Chopper are able to hop on, but Ball Saxon grabs Sabine. And he's just like, look at me with my ball sack. And she's just like, ew, I'm 16! Or 18. I don't know how old Sabine is now. I've lost track of the timelines. And Sabine is ready to be a raging teenage girl, and she fucking beats up this full-grown man to the best of her abilities. And she's able to get Ball Saxon down. Oh, God. Ball Saxon down!
Oh.
Long enough to fly at the Phantom minivan, and she's pissed because Saxon shoots out her jetpack. But luckily, Ezra catches her, and they fly away to safety. Sabine sits with Rao, who actually did consider leaving them behind. But then he realized that Sabine was willing to die for her people, aka her space family, which is like really metal Mando of her. and she's like super metal Mando. And Sabine has earned his respect, and Finn Rao decides to join the rebels. The end.
All right.
Thanks for helping me with the whoa. Because Ezra scene... actually makes that sound. He, like when Sabine like wraps his arms around her, he goes whoa.
Yeah, he was loving it. the scene of Rao taking off in the ship reminded me of Lando in the Solo movie. Just the way they framed it and the situation and everything.
The hot minute since I've seen Solo.
where Lando just like, they were just like, and anyway, we got our partner Lando over there, and then the ship flies off.
I remember the scene. I don't remember the visual because I've seen it once in the theaters, and that's the only time I've seen Solo.
It was framed very similarly. Mm. I like it, that chase through the chasm through the air, because we're seeing some, it was reminiscent of Clone Wars with the collaboration between a Jedi and non-Jedi using, you know, their complementary skills of whatever's, you know, she had the jetpack this time, but that, you know, they were just, it was nice. It reminded me of Clone Wars with like clones and Jedi fighting together. Mm-hmm. We had the first straight up, I think, in Rebels Star Wars theme music when Rao comes back with the first straight up like dun 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 dun.
I swear we've had that in season one, because season one like built their soundtrack on old theme music.
They did, but they were picking out like incidental parts from stuff that I don't know if I've heard the main Star Wars theme like that in Rebels or Clone Wars.
My brain keeps flashing back to the very first episode where with the Wookiees, but I could be wrong. But yeah. I feel like we've seen it at least once before, or I guess heard it at least once before. But they don't use it very often.
Yeah, and it was just strange hearing it with Rao. but that was cool. My only other note is, and it's more of a question than a note is, or an observation question, is do you think Chopper maybe flies a little too much? I'm like, Chopper's flying has gone from like R2 doing little hops, you know, him doing little hops, him flying from here to there. Now he's just straight up like flying around like a spaceship, you know, and I wonder if they should, I don't know. I often think maybe they shouldn't have him fly. It just doesn't seem like like that would hold the fuel to do just to fly, like, you know, like. They could go Chopper, go, you know, do a couple laps around the city and see what you see from the air and stuff like that. You know, it seems like he's almost like a probe droid or something where he can just like, you know, tootle around everywhere. But it seems a little convenient. I wish they would like maybe hold back a little on Chopper's flying.
I guess, because I know he didn't fly as much in season one, but they also didn't need him to.
That's what I'm saying.
He started flying more in season two for sure. I guess it doesn't bother me because, like, it bothers me with R2 because in Clone Wars they show R2 flying around, but then he never flies in the original trilogy. And, like, so, like, I'm like, why did you make him fly in Clone Wars?
And then if you're going to make later, R2 fly. If you can make a little droid like, and Chopper's a little shorter than R2, if you can make a little droid like that, droids can hold the energy to just fly around like that. God, you know, and you had R2, I would have had R2 powered up with all that. If I was in Star Wars, after the original Star Wars, I would have been like, can we equip this droid with blasters and a rocket? Yeah. Because he's very useful.
Yeah, because like I guess it doesn't bother me because, like, we've always seen Chopper have the ability to fly, unlike the original trilogy where R2. Because, like, you know, I remember Anakin riding around R2 in the Zillow Beast episodes, and I was just like, yeah! And then when we were doing our commentary for, I think it was Empire Strikes Back, like, when him and Luke first land on Dagobah, I'm like, why isn't, like, R2 flying around? Because he has this ability. So, like, it doesn't bother me, I guess, as much with Chopper because he's always had that ability, unlike R2 where they retroactively added that ability to R2, but then it doesn't make sense chronologically. So I guess it doesn't bother me with Chopper as much as it does with R2. I see what you're saying, though, because they do whip it out.
He's really flying around in this one. It's just like, you know, this was he's just like a Mandalorian, basically, without weapons. Yeah.
Though I will say, like, I love, one of my notes is, I love that image of Ezra riding Chopper, because it looks cool as hell.
No, that whole sequence looked really cool. And it actually did
remind me of Anakin riding R2 a lot. Like, it reminded me of so much of Anakin riding around on R2.
Yeah, that whole sequence reminded me of Anakin fighting in the Clone Wars. But that's all I got for part three.
For me, so, okay, my first note, I understand that he's part of the space family, and Chopper is valuable and stuff, and I do know that they needed Chopper to not be, like, to be alive and working later in the episode, because Ezra has to write him, but there's also that little moment where, like, I felt like it was a little sloppy that Ezra revealed he was a Jedi just to save a droid who is not a living thing.
Right.
I was like, that's a little sloppy, Ezra. I mean, I know it's for plot and you need him later, but, like, he's also a droid, so if they shot Chopper, like, you could just, rebuild him.
Fix him, yep.
Yeah, you can just fix him. But, of course, then he wouldn't have anything to ride later. So I get it. But I did have that thought. I was just like, he's a droid. I remember the first time I watched this episode, my head snapped up at the mention of Sabine's mom, because moms in Star Wars is like finding a diamond in a very random river in your woods. But there's so much, I love that scene too, because it adds so much to it, and also how Tia Sikar voices Sabine in that scene too, because he brings up, Ball Saxon brings up her mom, and you can hear that Sabine's annoyed, and, like, she's pissed, and she's mad, because, like, she flat out, like, growls at Ezra, like, don't listen to him, and Tia Sikar, like, killed this episode with Sabine, like, she was so good, so I loved how that whole scene played out, because we got more nuggets about her Imperial days, we also got more about her family being part of the Empire, which just informs so much about, like, what Sabine had left behind, so, like, that entire scene is just really well done, and well acted. I really love that scene. This is just a little continuity thing, because, like, in The Mandalorian, when Din gets his jetpack, they're like, it's the Rising Phoenix, and you have to have all this training. And, like, Sabine just, like, yoinks a guy's jetpack, throws it on, and she's fine with it.
Well, she might have had all that training at some point, but she just didn't have a jetpack. She was psyched to have it, though. You can tell she was just like, yes!
I actually, like, that's one of my notes. It's like, when Ball Saxon shoots out her jetpack, she's more pissed about that than almost falling to her death. She's like, oh, he shot my jetpack.
It's like a slim iPod shape. You know, an Apple Mac pack. You know, it's slim and compact and sleek looking compared to the big old rocket ones that you usually see. So she was just like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was nice. I love Ezra's line of, Sabine's evil cousins are coming. Ezra has so many good one-liners in this episode. But I just love those. Sabine's evil cousins are after us. I already said that note. Okay, so my only other note that I have is actually about Rao. And I wish they had it to where, like, he stole the ship and then he kind of, like, watched from afar. Because his change of heart all kind of almost happens off screen. Like, we have the moment where he's about to leave and he stops and he thinks about it. But I kind of, like, would have loved to see him almost, like, off to the side, like, on a ridge watching all this. So he could, like, watch Sabine fight and, like, watch how hard she's, like, being a Mando. And, like, she's trying to protect her people and she's trying to protect Ezra and Chopper. I just feel like that would have worked a little bit. Because, like, most of his change of heart happens almost entirely off screen, except for, like, one little, like, 2-second scene. And that would have just, like, made it work up a little bit better for me if he got to witness Sabine and then made his decision witnessing how she was working. I thought that would have worked a little bit better.
I think, like, there was always a part, I think there was always a part of him that was looking for an excuse to be friendly with her because she's another Mandalorian, but he's honor bound to be her enemy, but I don't think he really, you know, he was trying to be mean to her, and they were sniping back and forth, but I don't think either of them really had their heart in it, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just kind of like, it was like the mystery box turn, because he took off in the ship, so when you're watching it, you're like, well, you know, he's either going to decide to come back or not, and we find out when that happens, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I would have liked that, just, like, even if he was just watching from a distance, and, like, they're having the whole, like, fight scene, the ravine scene, he's watching, and it's when the kids go down, and he sees, like, Sabine get up still willing to fight, even after they get shot down out of the sky, like, and that's when he goes, I need to protect these kids, these kids are under my protection. It was just, like, because he was such a hard-ass about it, like, up to this point. He was a hard-ass in the Protector of Concord Dawn episode. He was such a hard-ass, and then all of a sudden he's just like, oh, she's so Mando, I'm gonna come back. So it just would have worked a little bit better to me if, like, he was still kind of, like, just witnessing it from, even if it was just from afar. So, but that's all I have. Did you have anything else?
No. I'm ready to score this.
Score it up.
All right. I gave it an 8.5.
Nice.
I think it might have gotten a little extra boost because it's right on the coming right on the heels of the Mandalorian, because aside from the chase from the chase at the end, which is really cool, it's visually narratively okay, but like it's a very sort of like standard episode, you know, it's mostly people walking around and talking and stuff and isn't like super visually or frenetically action oriented, but it was very entertaining, and I think it probably would have gotten like a 7.5 or 8 if I hadn't just gotten done watching The Mandalorian. But yeah. 8.5, I enjoyed it a lot.
I don't think I mentioned it because I was partially expecting you to mention it because you're the visual guy. But I always love the look of Concord Dawn. Whenever, like, you have, like, those big sky shots and you can just see, like, the asteroid field across the sky.
Yeah.
I always love the look of Concord Dawn. It looks visual. Like, it's one of my favorite planets in Rebels because they just do such a good job. They just do such a good job with it. For me, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, if I hadn't just watched The Mandalorian, like, this would probably be a little bit lower because it is such a, like, a straightforward episode. And it does feel like there's a lot of great nuggets in it. But this episode definitely gets a boost after watching The Mandalorian. It makes the dialogue and the action hit differently because, you know, like when we hear Finn Rao saying, oh, we'll endure the Empire, you just go, but like you have those moments now. And it's still a really great episode. I love Concord Dawn, like I just said. The Mando history is always really interesting. Though my only big thing was I do think Rao's change came a bit too quick. It's not really bad or anything. I just wish they would have done it, executed it differently. But I do love the little nuggets about Sabine's family, and Tia Sikar just did a really great job voicing Sabine in this episode. And Ezra's fun. Like Ezra's just, I love how clueless Ezra is the whole episode. He's just like, I don't get Mando.
Because he gets to go back to sort of a little bit of, he's out of his element a little bit, so he's not as much of the protagonist. He's been taking up a lot of the slack and mantle lately, and it was good to see him out of his element and just sort of bumbling and messing up again. You know?
Like, I love in the end scene where he's just like, don't take this the wrong way, but you guys are scary. It was just so nice to have Ezra. So I gave the episode an 8 out of 10. It hit higher because we just came fresh off The Mandalorian. So, well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. I need to remember. If you guys are international and has sent us, like, iTunes reviews through international iTunes, apparently we can't see that because Bucho and Robbie, Bucho is from New Zealand, and he was like, yeah, I wrote you guys a review, and I looked at it, I was like, I don't see it. So if you have written us a review on something that's not like American iTunes, please like reach out to me so I can get it from you and I can read it on the show because I did not know that was there. And apparently with American iTunes, I can't see international reviews. So just let me know if you have, and we'll work it out, and I want it. So this week, our feedback, we're really, because we took like 8 weeks of like however many weeks of like commentaries and we didn't do feedback, the next few weeks I'm going to kind of like double up on feedback to get us all caught up. So these are from our episodes, Mystery of Chopper Base, Twilight of the Apprentice, and our Season 2 Rebels Roundup. And I have this all broken up, Chris, by episode and then like by where they came from. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Let me know if you have questions.
I think I got it. All right, okay. Mystery. We got the first ones from is on Mystery of Chopper Base from Gene Hendricks. Gene, the podcasting machine. And Gene says,
Gene comments.
All right, he says, hold the phone. How is it that I'm just now finding out that the doctor, or the curator, if you prefer, was the voice of Bendu? I must not have been paying attention when I watched season 3. Yeah, you were probably watching it on quadruple speed. Gene.
Gene, God, yeah. And
his voice probably sounded like a chipmunk, so how would you know that that's
I probably sounded like a chipmunk the Gene. First time I said it. Like, when the first episode of Bendu, I was just like, Bendu is voiced by Tom Baker, blah, 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 blah. But I probably sounded like, Tom Baker!
Yeah. Yep. All right. Now we're going into Twilight of the Apprentice, and this one comes from Twitter and is from Paul C. Kelly. Oh, yeah. Maul definitely plays the Yoda weak being deception on Ezra. He almost repeats the same line. Away, put your weapon. I mean you no harm. Oh, no. Like he is actually scared of it. Very anticlimactic endings for the Inquisitors, although Seven Sister was decent.
My Inquisitors, I miss them. Oh my God! I just watched like a little Rebels like music video today and it had Grande in it, and I was just like, oh, it's Grande. I had a moment. Anyway, continue.
Eighth Brother Death was more comic relief. Ha ha.
It's true. Death just kind of fall out of the sky.
Although I was spoiled, Ahsoka was going to fight her former master the first time I saw this. I did not know how. Knowing that did not make viewing any worse. It was amazing.
Paul, are you watching Rebels for the first time going through with our show? Because we are spoiling stuff for you. I hope you're not. I hope you've already seen it.
Yeah, that was probably us.
Yeah. I hope you meant that you were spoiled before watching the episode, before listening to our show, because we for sure. And this is Rafaela.
Also from Twitter.
She's says, one of our new people. So hi, Rafaela.
Hi. I don't have a voice for you yet, but if you keep writing in, maybe I'll get a voice for you. I had such a great time listening to this one. The synopsis for each episode had me laughing so hard. This arc is one of the best. I have a hard time. I'm still stuck a little bit in like 10% in Paul C. Kelly mode. The synopsis for each episode had me laughing so hard. This arc is one of the best Filoni ever made.
I agree. Twilight of the Apprentice is my favorite piece of Star Wars ever created. So, and this is from another one of our new listeners. Hi, Heather. Hi.
This is from Heather Taylor, and this is coming off Facebook. And she said, hope I loved, all caps, how you expressed what this episode means to you. I know Ahsoka is an extremely important character to you. Yeah, really?
Yeah, really?
You notice that? And it's nice to hear someone speak about a character so fiercely. I feel the same way with Hera, and it's nice to hear that I'm not crazy for being too attached to a fictional character. They are real to us.
And I didn't add it.
Well, I got my grievy.
Yeah, and I didn't add it in this because it's a link. But go on YouTube and Google look up the song It's Real to Us by Lauren Fairweather. And that's the song I said to Heather. And it's pretty much it's a Wizard Rock song back when I used to be like really big into Wizard Rock. And Lauren is Lauren of the Moaning Myrtles. And she wrote a song for fandom talking about how fandom is real to us. Yeah. It's a beautiful song. And I sent that to Heather, but I didn't include it in the comments here just because it would be a link.
I just wrote a song about my favorite character. You want to hear it?
Sure.
It goes something like this. Pour some gravy on me. when you need four swords. All right. So now.
I need to remember to send you. Aaron sent us a like a evolution Star Wars Pokemon thing, and it has like baby Greedy, middle stage Greedy, and old Greedy. And I just sent it to you. And I forgot.
Oh, I'm surprised they didn't do Baby Yoda yet on that.
Oh, Baby Yoda is Yoda's first form. So.
Okay. Okay.
So I need to remember to send that to you. I forgot to send it to you.
All right. So this next group I'm assuming this is
this is Facebook and the
this
spaces.
Is Facebook?
Yeah, and the spaces are different comments. So like okay. I'm responding to Paul, and then the other ones are by themselves.
Are just separate comments. Okay. So yep. We had this is from our season 2 wrap up. Oh God, that seems so long ago.
I know, right? Because it was.
And Paul C. Kelly says, and just like that, it's halfway over. Oh no. And Hope says, I know. I think that season 1 was half a season, but Rebels is like flying by.
It really is. We're going to be done with Rebels before probably the end of the year.
And then have another one from Gene Hendricks says, the discussion of the Vader-Leia relationship has me hearing Michael Rooker as Bail Organa saying, he may have been your father, girl, but he wasn't your daddy. Sounds creepier, though, when you're with Leia.
Yondu. He wasn't your daddy, boy.
Okay, then, and the last one comes from Paul C. Kelly. Says, commenting on the discussion about more Bail Organa. That was me. Since he seems to appoint Fulcrum, I wonder if there is an initiation process.
Ooh, Yoda helps with the initiation process.
If so, could it be like the fraternity initiation in Animal House? Not the Delta. I know where you're going with this, dude. Not the Delta one, but the thank you, sir. May I have another? Hope I have a feeling you would like that one if it was done to Callus.
LOL. Is, I've never seen Animal House, so I have no idea what you're talking
about. I can
count from context clues. I'm pretty sure I know where this is going.
It's a frat initiation, and it's the upper class frat, which they're fraternities initiations are famously homoerotic. Let's put it. And there's just a scene where they're all at the Delta house where all the partiers are, they're just partying, like pouring beer down each other's throats, and they have a band and stuff. And you go to the other house and they've got candles lit and like everybody's in robes and all the recruits are one of them's bent over a sawhorse while the one guy paddles him, and after every paddle he's going, thank you, sir, may I have another? Whack. Thank you, sir, may I have another? And the guy whacking him is just like, So yeah, that's where that came from. That's what Paul C. Kelly's trying to get us to picture Bail Organa behind Callus with a big old what game is it? Cricket paddle.
Yeah, and I imagine Cassian there too. Oh yeah, and meanwhile, Ahsoka's like, I'm too much of a lesbian for this bullshit. I would love to see any of you guys touch me because I will kill you. Oh my God, candy!
Yes, what are we eating today? We've got even more candy since the last time too. So we're like
our first box first.
I know, and then Dario sent us like this. I made up I have a friend who loves Kit Kats also and is a Kit Kat gourmet. So I was able to like make her up a little.
I did that for Billy. I took some extra ones.
Pack for all of our, from all my extra little sampler pack.
There's a long red one.
That's what I was just looking at. The Triangula?
Yeah. Okay. So Triangula. If you don't know what we're doing. I got my Triangula.
I want to eat your candy from Triangula.
Aha. So if you don't know what we're doing, Chris does not like American Kit Kats. So our friend Dario sends us candy all over the world to review. And thank you, Dario. We love you. And this is the Triangula bar.
Triangula.
It's from Bolivia.
Bolivia, where my friend Anna Maria is from.
Oh, cool. I don't know anybody from Bolivia. Okay, what is it? Oh, it's that like kind of powdery chocolate. Either that or it's just been here for a long time.
It's
solid chocolate.
Solid chocolate? Milk chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
In a sort of It's not purely triangular because it's got a flat top, but
it's like almost
like a Peruvian, an Aztec pyramid.
Simple. Yeah,
stretched out like a Aztec period pyramid trailer.
Really good.
Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. Triangular.
Triangular.
I like to say triangular.
We love you, Daria. Thank you. By the way, Daria, thank you for the gift. You know what I'm talking about. It's the sweetest thing anyone has ever done for me. Did I tell you about that?
Yes, you did. Dario's a good egg, man.
Dario's a great egg.
I went downstairs and told my roommate about it because I knew it would make her choke up. She was just like, that's wonderful.
Maybe I should just tell the story on the show, right, Bash?
I don't see how we can't tell the story since we just made it so interesting. It's not like he sent you like something. Well, I guess it is deeply personal, but it's not like deeply, you know. It was a very, very nicely thought out.
It's one of the sweetest things anybody's ever done for me. So you guys know every week we get this candy from Dario. So I sent Dario a Visa MasterCard gift card for Christmas just to tell him thank you. Just because, you know, he does this for us every week. We don't pay him to do this. He does this out of the kindness of his own heart. And so I sent him a little Visa gift card just to say thank you for this. And then he messages me out of the blue. And, well, I guess not. It's not out of the blue because he got the card. He messages me and he was just like, Hope, I just want to say thank you for the card. It was really nice of you. I wanted to let you know that we took the Visa gift card and we bought the biggest turkey we could find with it and we donated it to an LGBTQ shelter in your name. And I like started crying. I started crying because that's like you took something and you made it better and you used it to help other people, especially like for causes that like I'm super like supportive of. And like that is just the nicest thing, Dario. So,
somewhere in Queens, there was a giant
gay turkey. There's a giant
gay turkey with Hope's name on it.
Giant queer turkey for a bunch of queers, my name on it. And it's just that is. I like Daria, I literally started crying when I read that message, and I was just like, so like Daria, like thank you, like that is super sweet. And next time I send you a Visa gift card, at least buy yourself like a cup of Starbucks and then or something to get something, but you know.
And that was so nice, Daria. We're not even gonna like wake you up at the end of this episode after the credits.
Yeah. So when you're editing,
we're just gonna let you sleep tonight, Dario.
So when
you've
you're editing
it.
This, like, and it's going out, like, play something nice and soothing at the end. Be like, go to sleep, Dario. Go to sleep.
I'll play some turkey. I'll find some appropriate turkey. I'll play Turkey in the Straw.
Something nice and soft for him at the end. So
I'll try to find the lullaby version of Turkey in the Straw.
But like for real, Dario, like thank you.
I'll try to find Liberace playing Turkey in the Straw. How about that?
Well, like you mean so much, Dario. Like really, like thank you so much. And you're part of the show and we love you. So thank you. Oh, that's all I had. Do you have any? It's so, oh my God, like we're done within an hour and a half after doing like 2-3 hour episodes for like 8 weeks.
The funny thing is this will take more editing than those ones because there are commentaries which I could just like flap together. There's no cutting out pauses and commentaries or anything like that. They're the easiest edits in the world.
Yeah.
But that's okay. This is still, hey, this is just it's just good to be back to a nice old normal. J-Guys and Jedi, where we get to, and although I got to do my spiel yesterday, I always get to do my spiel, but it's always so comforting and familiar. You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That is our website, which hopefully very soon is going to have quite a makeover. Keep your eyes on that at twotruefreaks.com. We're having trouble with our RSS feeds, so you might be having some trouble on iTunes. If you're an iTunes listener and you can't find us, come to twotruefreaks.com. You can download us directly from there, and we're always going to have our podcasts there. You can go to Facebook, where we have the Two True Freaks podcast page, and we post them all up there too, so you can find them there. Go to the Two True Freaks cantina and talk to your fellow freaks. You can go to Twitter and find out what's going on. and our Twitter site is hosted by the aforementioned Gene, the unaware that Tom Baker was Bendu Machine.
I wish I had like a voice of Tom Baker going like
Gene.
I wish I did.
Doesn't matter. All he's gonna hear is
Gene. That's true. I mean, where's the lie?
But that's where they can find me. Where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter accounts. You can also find me at Hope Molnax on Twitter. What else do? Oh, I have a website. I had a moment, sorry. I have a website called geekygirlexperience.com where I've actually just finished writing a bunch of like episode reviews of The Mandalorian, and I've also been writing reviews of Resistance, and actually Resistance might be done by the time this episode comes out, or might be going into the finale of Resistance by the time this episode comes out, because it's over in January, which is crazy that Resistance only has like 5 episodes left. So I've been writing a lot of reviews over there. I also write fan fiction on Archive of Our Own under the name Chaos Lydia. I actually just recently started working on Forces of Gravity again, so I'm gonna hopefully by the time this episode comes out, I'll be much closer to having a new chapter of that out. And yeah. Oh my god, Chris, guess what?
What?
Next week we're probably doing my least favorite episode of all of Rebels.
Ooh.
Worse than the space whales. Like this episode, like I remember watching this episode and I was just like, I fucking hate this.
Oh, so this is gonna be a short and sweet episode.
But the thing is, like, I've only seen it once. I honestly don't really remember much of it, other than this is the one where Ezra finds all the kids that are like, we're a rebel cell. And he's like, oh God, you guys, you're teenagers. Stop. And like one of them is like, I think this is where Mart is. I think Mart, I think is his name. I don't remember his name. But this is where it's a bunch of little shavers. And Ezra's just like, oh, okay, I guess I'm the adult now. So like, I remember really hating this next week's episode.
It's
but
like
again,
the Lord of the Flies Rebels.
I don't remember.
I don't remember it at all. It doesn't sound familiar to me at all. I'm curious.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see if you change your tune. Maybe.
I know. So I will go into it with an open mind. We're doing Iron Squadron next week. So I am gonna go into it with an open mind for sure. I'm interested to see if, because I think I still wasn't like the biggest fan of Ezra when I watched it. So I might like it more. I think I remember, like, you remember the episode where Ahsoka was stranded in the jungle with a bunch of other Padawans and they were being hunted?
Uh-huh.
I think I was expecting it to be like that, and it's not that, and so I think that also, like, kind of, like, tailored my view of it. I was just like, oh, this is so much worse. So I'm excited to watch next week's episode, but I'm also just like,
Yeah. Now I'm curious.
I'm waiting for Thrawn to come back. Thrawn doesn't come back for another 2 episodes. I miss my blue husbando. And I miss Ahri. I need my girlfriend Ahri. I need my blue husbando. And I need Kallus. And I need my boyfriend and my husband. I miss Grande. I miss Grande, Chris. I miss Grande. I'm gonna go cry myself to sleep. Good night.
I know, and we're not recording next week either.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
So you're not even going to get it. We're doing double duty the week after that, so you're going to have to wait even longer. Plus, with the 2 months of stuff, you just must be in withdrawals by now.
I know. I miss my husband, though.
Well, it's not like you can always, it's not like you can watch, can't watch him in your spare time anyway if you get too desperate.
I will say, it's very nice being able to watch it on Disney Plus. I enjoy watching Rebels on Disney Plus. That's cool. So, yay, capitalism. Bye.
All right. See you next week.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
While he looks like a traditional Mandalorian,